all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside. We are standing on an endless horizon.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, one and all, and welcome to one more audio segment of whatever this is. Not that I would know. This evening, Visible is hovering in the saucer pod above the transforming world and having no clue as to what any of it means or who or what is behind it. Since my basic assumption is that nothing happens anyway unless God ordains or permits it, maybe I do have some idea, but I won't insist on it. I don't know about the rest of you, but if this last week is anything to go by, I'd have to say that I'm being rocked from both sides of whatever it is that's making it happen. I haven't seen a period like this for a while. It's disconcerting is what it is. Scary, unsettling, and unpredictable. I feel like I'm being pushed to the limits of my health and well-being. Trying to see the positive side of it, but so far it hasn't surfaced. Apparently, I'm not the Lone Ranger, though. I'm wondering if I'm in a position to offer insights or advice. It seems to me that anything I might have to say worth listening to, my own situation reflect the benefits of it, but I haven't seen that climbing up out of the vibrational soup of my moments in the day-to-day. The intensity of the thoughts passing through my head and some of the scenarios they have been expressing, well, is a little intimidating. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I don't feel intimidated. I just feel like I'm supposed to be, if that makes any sense. When we look back at our lives, once we've had enough life so that we can look back on it, it is often the case that our lives didn't take anything like the course we expected or hoped for. Of course, that could just be my life. I know there are some number of you people out there who have a consistent stream of successes even when they, I'm not you, I'll forget that part. Okay, well, haven't been nice people in the process. That's one thing about this life. It often comes across as very unfair and doesn't make sense a lot of the time. Take the example of the neocons of recent memory who have been behind almost all of the wars and expensive and repressive domestic conditions that have become so much a part of life in the last couple of decades. You'd think some kind of justice might have come along and landed on their heads, but that hasn't happened. Then you look back over the course of history and you realize that bad people have been seriously active and seriously successful at all sorts of evil enterprise and only occasionally getting nailed for it. It makes you think that there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to what goes on down here. Also makes you wonder if being a decent human being is a wise or intelligent career choice. I've managed to come to terms with that by convincing myself that we only see half the equation in the manifest realm. And of course, all the holy books pretty much declare that to be true. Because of this, I tend to see existence as a Mobius strip that winds out through the gates of death and then returns through the birth channel. This possible explanation for the way things are leaves me with a persistent awareness that there's a great deal that I don't know, and I'm pretty satisfied with being able to feel and acknowledge this. Nothing is worse, in my opinion, than to have an unjustified and exaggerated mindset about your own capacities and capabilities. That sort of thing annoys me when I run across it, and I'm pretty sure it annoys God as well. In any case, the Mobius strip construct makes a good argument for reincarnation and the conditions and experiences that attend our moments in this veil of tears. What I've just mentioned here is responsible for any number of concepts and possibilities that I accept as being true. I have made mention many times in my life about the importance of not abusing and mistreating women, by example. not just because it's repugnant and defines you as a low-born scum, no matter what your social or economic status is, but because of the truly horrific karma potential. The thing is that there's only one way to get into this life, and that is through a woman. You can imagine what sort of conditions and personalities might present themselves given particular behavior on your part. The mother has a tremendous impact on the early years of a person's life, and those years can be a frightful affair in certain circumstances. Abuse the female end of the dynamic at your peril, because you will be coming back here. Karma and reincarnation are often on my mind when I move through the world or when I study the headlines and read any number of the curious tales and events that, you know, make it into the news. When I look at major disasters, the terrible conditions in certain countries, and wars, and all the usual suspects that create the environments for human suffering, reincarnation are on my mind, along with karma. When I look at oppressed people and hear about torture chambers and the occasional hideous conditions that appear in places like Cambodia or Iran under the Shah, I think about karma and reincarnation. I don't have to look at the world as lacking justice. Instead, I look at it as justice in motion, justice in action, even if you don't know the relevance or the precedence, you know, what it emerged from. This perspective is it's unacceptable for a lot of people. They think it's a cop-out or poor reasoning with no definite evidence. A lot of people can't understand why God allows the things that happen, why he, she permits evil men to have their way and all sorts of things that people want to draw attention to that is an indicator of incompetence on the part of the Creator. Many of these people are exponents of the triumph of the personal will over conditions and creatures. There's no shortage of people who have the idea and impression that they are in charge of their destinies and they don't need no stinking God mucking up the joint. The things I see and the conclusions I draw are not shared by the majority of folks. I've not had a great deal in common with most people in any area whatsoever. I'm sure they think I'm mad, unless they prefer to label me eccentric. I think they're crazier than I will ever be personally, and maybe we're both right. I look at the passions and pursuits of most people, and I don't see the payoff. I look at what to me are terrible delusions, but which are mainstream normal for the general public. I look at people's capacity to accept absurd lies, like the official fable of 9/11. I have to shake my head because I can't compute the ways or means by which such a thing can be possible. It's mind-blowing. It's depressing and it's disappointing. I know there's a reason for everything, and I know that God is a reality, and I'm going to talk about that, I guess, for the rest of the program or whatever it spins off into. I look at Christian fundamentalists, and it's hard to figure out where it is that they're headed. Some kind of lesson is in progress, but whatever it is, it doesn't have anything to do with some immediate or looming self-realization on their part, because they're about as far away from anything authentic as they could possibly be, and you can't get there from there, from here, or from wherever. Now, I've had a rough passage through the landscape to this point of my life, to the point I find myself in, and some of it was relentless, extensive, time-wise, and brutal. I couldn't figure that out for a while until I realized it was all about beating the attractions of the world out of my consciousness and reducing the footprint of my false self. We all have one. For most people, making sense out of what you find here and what may exist elsewhere is a near impossible feat. For the most part, they fall into the trap of orthodoxy or loose faith altogether because it doesn't make rational sense. Why would one thing exist right along with something else when the entire relationship is counterproductive? Here's an example that anyone can relate to, whether or not they understand the why of it. Let's say you're a guy who is appreciative of the female end of things, while at the same time you have intense spiritual attractions for a world beyond this one. Look at any picture, a photograph of any beautiful woman, and I'll give you leeway to pick her according to your preferred tastes. And there she is, drawing your attention while taking your attention off the spiritual end of things. Is this woman a bad or evil influence, given that she makes you want to do all kinds of things to her? You know, just as far as your imagination is concerned, I mean, maybe it's not even her fault. Maybe she's not even thinking about it. Anyway, is she a bad influence, given that a continuing engagement with her is also attendant with all sorts of complications in relation to more esoteric considerations? Then again, however rare it may be, given my own not inconsiderable experience, She might be part of the whole process for you and sharing of, you know, your drives and interests toward the divine. The reality in most cases is that she's there in front of you as a rival for this other attention, but she was created by the very force of your intentions with the attention you seek. The whole world is designed by the one who is the object of our highest desire. And the whole creation is the biggest trap one could imagine, especially in time periods like a Kali Yuga. It doesn't make sense in any practical way, and it looks like God is conspiring against you through your appetites and attractions, which he created in the first place. I've met God. I believe I have, and I have conversations with him as well. They are not frequent occurrences, but when they happen, they will go on for an hour or more. And yeah, I have a lot of things that were befuddling me, confusing me recently over the course of some months, and it was becoming disturbing because there was no sense that I could see for some of the things that were happening. So God showed up the other night and went into one of those travelogues he likes to do, in which he gives me constant examples of things and then brings them immediately into relation with whatever the point may be that he's making. In this instance, he was making the point that he has good reasons for putting me through whatever I've been going through or anything he does. And so he punctuated the conversation repeatedly at every turn with some permutation of, I have very good reasons for everything I do. Of course, being God, and from what I can see, an avid appreciator of mystery, he didn't get around to providing any explanation of what there were good reasons for, or were, or are. Well, I don't let that trouble me much, first of all, because it does no good in any case, and furthermore, because I trust God, and if he takes the trouble to actually talk to me, it is an indication that I'm not in bad shape vis-a-vis my relationship with him, and that's all I care about, period, and no matter what else may be pinging on my attention or seeking to get me aroused by it. Do I care if anyone else believes I talk to God? Absolutely not. Why would such a consideration be important at all unless I had some kind of personal profit that was dependent on that? But I have and do just about everything I do for free nearly all the time anyway. And even though I have some books coming out soon and possibly some other projects in the work, that hasn't been the case in any profitable way all along the course to now. Meanwhile, it should be clear that there's no natural means by which I could support myself while doing all of this for free. So arguably, I'm the recipient of support from somewhere, and that is consistent for those employed by the one who has everything at his disposal. Now, either I convince myself so effectively that the certainty he has enough power to shape reality to my needs, or someone likes me enough to see that I keep going. Once again, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other what others believe. What matters to me is what my own experience tells me is so, and whether or not my own experiences are consistent enough to convince me that what I believe is actually so. Most people, regardless of what they may desire or seek to be true, will always maintain a safety net in respect of holding it together. From God's point of view, that smacks of a lack of faith. I never kept any kind of safety net, and I got hammered as a result, but the end result has proven to be that when I got put through and what I got put through to now be here telling this tale has resulted in the definite and real article. I can assure you I have not always behaved correctly by any standards, no matter how liberal or relaxed they may be. I haven't been sane or reliable more times than I can count, but I have relied on the ineffable with all I could manage or muster through all the scenarios I got taken through. I submit that that is much more important than all the other things so many of us think will get us where we want to go without demonstrating the sacrifices that make us deserving of it. You can take or leave what I say here. That's up to you. That's not my concern. My concern is only to deliver what I'm entrusted to provide and not get all hot and bothered about being seen as legitimate in any way that affirms my value and importance, which is a sure sign that one probably doesn't deserve it. If they find themselves in a position where they have come to believe that they have to operate in a way that, what the hell, that allows them to acquire it, even if only temporarily. Now, one of the things that contact with God has given me is a capacity to enjoy things without guilt, and in a way of appreciating them that is not often available to those whose appetites are more important than the author of the opportunity to experience them. Another side effect is all the cool ideas that just seem to appear out of the woodwork and provide me with no end of good in terms of what is possible compared to what I thought was possible previously. Ah, well. One sure way to screw up a relationship with God is to let religion enter the picture. And that is the main standby through which most everyone associates God, and the last place God actually likes to spend any time. It's the wellspring of hypocrisy and all manner of perversions, as well as the exaltation of the parishioner above the object of worship, while presenting it otherwise through false humilities and genuflecting absurdities. It's not difficult to figure out why people don't manage to connect or interact with God, given the presence of religion in the equation. Religion exists for one reason, and that is to make money off of people's attraction to the idea of the divine and amplify and maintain an awareness of guilt so that a supplicant can be held in a state of unworthiness and be compelled to pay as much. I just pay as they go along. Well, alrighty then. I guess I got off track there. I don't know. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. And, you hang in there, do your best. I know it's trying and troubling times and very difficult, but, you know, you aren't going to be given more than you can handle. Hopefully that comes across. Anyway, that said, Hare Krishna, aloha, and haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.